Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations with the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 41 of Weed All About It, or what I'm calling The Only Constant is Change, about my visit to the Ritzville Museum, known formally as the Northern Pacific Railroad Depot Museum, located in the old railway station near downtown. Most of the podcasts I produce have a clear link to the organization I work for, either in terms of funding, effort, or interests, in which case you might think a podcast talking with L.R. Kite, the 81-year-old who runs the museum, is out of my wheelhouse. Actually, I often use the museum as a way station when I'm hosting members of the team of young executives from Nishin, the largest flour miller in Japan. You can check out episodes 37 and 38 to learn more about the Nishin tour, and you can see photos on our Facebook page of the Japanese team in U.S. military hats of another era. Search for Washington Grain Commission. In the background of Kike's explanation, you may hear murmurs of appreciation, approval, or surprise. That's this year's Nishin team, which included Seiji Sega, Sohai Yoshida, and Nobukazu Mai. Kike is very precise about his name. It is spelled as I would pronounce Keith, but apparently that's the Scottish pronunciation. Rather than having me introduce Keith, I mean Kike, I'll have him do it.
Think of Lone Ranger. Kike, K-E-I-T-H. If you're Scotch, you say Keith, but I'm not Scotch. Although I am cheap, I'll admit.
And what do your friends call you?
All right, let me turn this off. If they're former telegraphers, they all know me as KY. Now, every operator had his own personal sign. Sometimes the initials reflected their name. But I can tell you, there were a lot more XYs, Zs than there were guys with the last name XYZ. So KY is what I used to sign, but everybody else, LR, plus a few other expletives, but we won't go into that.
On Monday, the day that I bring the Nishin team to Ritzville, the museum is closed, but more often than not, Kike shows up like magic and opens the doors and turns on the lights, receiving us as friends. It's a wonderful cultural event for the Japanese who are in the U.S. to learn about wheat farming, to meet an elder with a devotion, some might call it an obsession, with a communication method which is the direct precursor of the internet that now obsesses our lives. For those who might not know about telegraphy, think of the 1996 movie Independence Day, when a plot point had the world being saved, in part, by people communicating in Morse code, a communication the aliens did not understand. Morse code, a system of dots and dashes signaling the alphabet, was invented by Samuel Morse and used in a demonstration for the first time in May 1844. Later in the podcast, you'll hear Kike refer to the authentic first message communication. I did a little looking and couldn't substantiate Kike's version, but I bow to his knowledge of all things telegraph-related. In 1861, when a telegraph line was strung across the continent, it put the Pony Express out of business. What has God wrought indeed? I got a telegraph set for Christmas when I was 10, two plastic devices powered by batteries with buttons you press to get different tapping sounds, which were activated by pressing the button, or hand key as Kite would call it. You could string wires between the devices so you could practice your Morse code with a friend from a distance, sending and receiving messages. I only remember SOS, three dots, three dashes, three dots. But I was fascinated by the whole notion of telegraphy, even if I was not capable of memorizing the alphabet in code. Kike, on the other hand, is a maestro. He may be 81, but it's as if his hand is 24 with a mind of its own as it moves into position, causing a flurry of dots and dashes to ensue. Kike's interest in telegraphy fits in nicely with the Ritzville Museum's interest, which puts railroads in Ritzville at the top of its list of priorities. Kike may be a telegraph nut and a railroad buff, but he starts his tour of the museum with a primer on the community he clearly loves.
Okay, let's start off with the very beginning. Generally, whenever we get, I don't call them visitors, I call them friends. We're a small museum. Everybody that comes through this door, we have to treat as a friend. Friends will come back. Visitors may or may not. We'd like you to think of us as friendly. So those not familiar with Ritzville, I try to give them a little bit of background on the history of the city. It was founded by Germans from the Volga River in Russia. And these are primarily farmers. Okay? And they came out here. The vast majority of them were these Volga Germans. Not all, but the vast majority. They came in a wagon train, horses and wagons. And they could see the land. They knew some of it was perfect for farming and others, no. And so this became ideal for them. They said, Das Land ist sehr gut. That is good land, so they settled here. This, at one time, until about 1930 or so in the 30s, was the largest wheat shipping city in the entire world. Now, when you consider Kansas, Nebraska, the Midwest, Canada, such as Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, that's saying a lot. It's not the original depot. The original depot was a wooden structure built across the tracks. It was woefully inadequate because Ritzville was kind of a little center of 70 little smaller communities and groups. And so it was inadequate. And the people wanted a bigger station because at that time, almost everything moved by rail, freight, passengers, and everything. Mm-hmm. And there were numerous passenger trains, freight trains, and everything. And it grew. The area grew. So they built this one. They started in 1909 and finished in 1910. We have what they call a women's waiting room over on this side and men's. In the early days, the reason they did that is because they did not want salesmen bothering the ladies. So they come in here, get their tickets. Families were split up. The women waited for the train that way and the men this way. Now, during all of these wars, of course, they dispensed with that. You're not going to separate families that are off to a war, or if the remains should be brought in, you're not going to separate them. And so they just, after the Korean conflict, they just opened it up. This office in here was the Railway Express office. Now, before UPS, Federal Express, DHL, everything was shipped by rail, small packages or less than carload freight. It had to be weighed. Incidentally, this scale came from the old depot built in 1882. It's Fairbanks. About 1912, it became Fairbanks Morse. And this door lifts up. Twice a year, the weighmaster would check the weights and the springs to make sure they're accurate. So this thing is, who knows, 1870, 1880. That safe is 1873, so this has been here a long time. Okay, the hearse was built in 1893 in Marx, Germany, because this was a German community. It was used until about 1920, and it's been restored, and we keep it here. It takes 5 hours to clean it. I do that every year because this is a farm area, lots of dust, and I want it looking nice for opening season. You'll see pictures throughout the museum up there of old farming. We actually have a movie of this that we play at the theater of these mules and horses doing this. This particular set was built by the Schessler family. That's German. Okay, they made and carved all of these horses, all of the linkage, all of the equipment, wheat sacks and all. It took them a couple of years to do it, but this is a masterpiece for a display. So you see 18 horses here. Some had more. Some mixed horses with mules. It wasn't a 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. job. They would get up about 4 or 5 in the morning, and by the time they were through working, put the horses away, brush them down, hang up the reins and everything else, 8, 9 o'clock at night. It was rough. It was hard physical labor. And you'll never see any of these farmers back there that are big and fat. At the present time, the building serves as a city museum and a rail museum. Since I got here, you know what direction I have been pushing real hard for. I am very happy to say that this will be the best equipped mainline railway depot in the world. And I can prove it. Everything safe, everything all restored as it was. It's not for me, it's for Ritzville. I love this community. They've been very good to me. They've helped me with so many projects. The museum board has been so supportive. And I just want to give them something back. Now, if we could ever acquire enough money to get the building across the street, that will become the city museum because it's larger. We have things in storage, even furniture that came in from some of the original wagon train settlers. Not a lot, but they brought it over here from Europe and Russia.
Now, are you German?
Ja, ich bin Deutsch.
And what's your history?
I take the Fifth Amendment. Long and diversified. My original intention was to be a priest. Back in those days, you paid your own way through the seminary unless you were truly hard case. But I fell in love with this profession.
When did telegraphs go out of vogue?
It depended on the country, but it was a gradual phase down. And the reason for this was not because it was unreliable or it was slower. It was simply labor intensive. Number one, it took a great deal of skill. Not everybody made a good operator, so to be what we call a good, fast operator required a lot of time. The second thing was it was labor-intensive, meaning it took a long time to make a proficient operator, whereas the machines, no. And so it was first successfully demonstrated in May of 1844. They strung a wire between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. Now, there's a little history behind that. Most history books say that the first message was, "What hath God wrought?" Wrong. That is not. That is not. There's a little political history behind that. The president, John Tyler, was considered by today's standards ultra, ultra conservative. And Morse, on the other hand, by today's standards, would be considered a bleeding heart liberal. The president said, "You and your buddy, get out of here with that contraption. We've got the best Pony Express service and the finest mail system in the world. I'm not going to give you a penny for that," what he called, "futuristic voodoo nonsense." And he kept going back. And the president finally said, "If those two guys show up here at the White House, run them off." So they decided to try Congress. And a few congressmen reluctantly agreed to look at it, but they wouldn't promise any funding. So naturally, the day of the dedication and the demonstration, Morse gets on the wire in Washington and he taps out, "Tyler ought to be hung." So Vail taps back, "Hanging's too good for him." So the third message was, "Here comes those idiots from Congress." And so when they were all standing around, then finally they picked out a verse from the Heilig Schrift, the Holy Bible. "What hath God wrought?" And after all, that looks better in the history books than "Tyler ought to be hung." So that was successful. Wires went up all over everywhere. And the telegraph progressed, 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 progressed. And it created a whole new industry, schools to teach it. Companies to manufacture poles, insulators, wires, batteries, and everything else.
Well, let's see you do your thing here.
All right. The first code was the American Morse. They didn't call it that. But that's the code that we used, and that's on here. The basic nuts and bolts of the system is a hand key, which makes the dots and dashes. Dots are very quick. Dashes are held down for the length of two dots. The letter L is the long one. It's held down for about 2.5 dots. So, in its basic form, it's a key, battery, and sounder. So, every letter and every number has either a dot, a dash, or a combination. And there is a way to teach this properly and easily. The hand key, every single dot had to be made by hand. So letter P is five dots. In the 1900s, telegraphers were coming up with paralysis of the hand. And no matter what they did, it was difficult. Somebody decided or invented what they call a semi-automatic sending key that makes the dots automatically. And it's a lot easier. What I said was, welcome to the city of Ritzville, Washington. During the Depression years, thousands of telegraphers lost their jobs, couldn't find work. Anything that was available, they would take. When the war came along, they were very bitter. They called them back and they said, no, you get rid of us. And so they had to go to women, recruiting women, and get them trained quickly and fast. So they used this new system. And again, it's the ability of each person. Some learn it quick. Others took a long time.
How long did it take you to become proficient?
I think you progress with time. I think you reach a certain level, and then you just keep progressing with time.
6 months to get to that level?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and even then I just kept progressing because there were new Phillips code words I'd never heard or... You just get better. After a while, everything is in your sleep. You virtually think Morse code in your sleep. In Canada, there was a guy that could send a message in French and English at the same time. Now, these guys that are using this text messaging system think they've really got something. Well, you're only 150 years behind us. And some guys could copy a long time. They would be copying press, go over here and get them... Get 30 to 60 of these a day through here. When they finish double tracking this, it'll be even more. Then the wood ties will all go, just this little section between here and the grain terminal, that's all going to be double tracked. So it's like a two-lane road, so that one train doesn't have to get out of the way. But that's their plan for the future. So that's basically the Morse system in a nutshell. Landline telegraphers like me are disappearing at an alarming rate. I'm not a prophet, but I would say in about 10 or 12 years, all of us that did this for a living will be gone.
And the world will be less because of it. But Kike made the distinction about landline telegraphers because there are also wireless telegraphers, and if there's ever an alien invasion, I'm pretty sure there'll still be quite a few people who understand Morse code. I sure hope so. I'll bet dollars to dumplings that very few of my listeners have made the short journey to Ritzville to visit the museum, which is open noon to 4, Tuesday through Saturday. Kike is a great guide to Ritzville and his lifetime of dots and dashes. For the younger generation, he is history personified. That's it for episode 41 of Weed All About It, or what I've called The Only Constant is Change, about my visit to the Ritzville Museum and my conversation with L.R. Kike about the history of the community and his passion for the telegraph. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join me again for another episode of Weed All About It.
You think we're simple, you think we're not bright. Look at your cities and ask yourself who's right. We've got country and you've got crime. We've got green and you've got grime. Let there be no doubt, we have what it takes to till the soil until our back aches. Just give us a break and don't be so rude. We love the work and you love the food.
We feed you.